You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Harry Kane, and today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Got a fun show here today. VFL, a former NFL player committee captain, the leader of the Players Association, Ramon Foster, whatever you want to call it. Ramon Foster, Pittsburgh Steelers, great. VFL, he's joining the show. If you guys remember, way back when, the week I took over the podcast, Ramon Foster was my first guest. So really, really looking forward to catching up with him and chatting about this Tennessee football team, this Tennessee situation with Josh Heupel and all that's entailed. That's coming up here in segments one and two. And then finally in segment three, a couple of commits for Tennessee, both basketball and the first commit under Josh Heupel here in this Tennessee football program. We will talk about that, maybe play some comments from some players that met with the media on Wednesday night. So a full, loaded, fun show here today here on Locked On Vols. It's the Thursday edition, of course, this podcast, Locked On Vols. You can follow us wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Google Play, at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols, Stitcher. It's available each and every weekday morning when you wake up, available, ready for your listening pleasure. I'm Eric Kane, your host here, radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, and a contributor to the VolQuest.com website. So much fun to get into today. Without further ado, let's hit it. Here is my conversation with Ramon Foster. What's good, brother?
What's going on, man? How are you today?
I am good. I'm choosing not violence.
Okay.
I'm not hashtag petty. I'm doing good, man. Can't say the same for you, though.
I kind of just want to, like, give you your own nickname. Not even a nickname. It might be what people call you anyway, but I just want to call you E. Kane.
That's fair.
I mean, like, that's better to me than just Eric or Kane. Like, E. Kane. Like, that's what I'm calling you from here on out.
E. Kane 40. Is that okay? E. Kane 40 used to be a Twitter handle of mine, so love it.
There it is. Love it.
All right, brother. Of course, from J. Martin, the Ramon Show, 104.5 in Nashville, The Zone. They do a fantastic job. And of course, his 10-year-plus NFL playing career and VFL. And so, we're in spring practice right now. And I know that you're not, seeing practice right now. You are going to come to the orange and white game. Looking forward to that. But from everything you've heard, from talking with people like me and everything, kind of where are you on Tennessee's spring football practice?
Just from what I've heard, the clips I've seen, of course, like you said, because they're out there and I hadn't been up there up close and personal, it's encouraging. I think we as fans, me especially as a guy that's very emotional about my Vols, is take a step back. Don't expect Rome to be built overnight because we got a long way to go. But the thing that I'm hearing more than anything is they are establishing a new culture. And in that, it's almost just like the cement mix just being mixed up right now. And you're just waiting to build a foundation in the house. That's what they're doing right now. I feel like under this Josh Heupel new tenure at Tennessee right now, simply just finding their way, bringing guys back in the fold, showing the ones who are there, we're about you. My understanding, it's been a different tone in practice and outside of practice too from the guys. Not just the older guys, like you're missing Trey this year. You're missing JG this year. And I dropped those names because JG transferred, number one, Trey is going on to the NFL draft, but that's older guy leadership. Like Henry Toto, we don't know what's going to happen from that, but he's not there. And from what I've heard mostly, which is the best part about it, but you're hearing young guys become leaders. And more than anything, that's going to be the guys that bring the rest of everybody along with them. Simply because, and the reason I think that's so huge is those guys probably didn't feel like they didn't have a place. And I know for sure they knew it was out of whack. It's just that right now they get an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to turn this around. They might not see the success that they want to see before they become seniors or graduate, but with what they're laying down right now from the whispers and the articles that I'm reading, they are establishing a new culture at Tennessee. And more than anything, what have we been saying about Tennessee? What's the culture? That's been the biggest part. And I love what Trey Smith did for the University of Tennessee. He tried to lead and he did. But if you got one voice that's not being backed up by everybody that they need to be, then you lose in more than one way, just on the field and off the field and just everywhere else. So that's what I'm getting from spring so far.
You know, you've been in many locker rooms. You played for one coach in the NFL, isn't that right? Just one guy.
But that's ever changing every year. So yeah, every year is a different locker room.
Yeah. Basically. How long does it take to establish culture? Because I do think – I agree with you. I think Tennessee's on the fast track right now. But, I mean, it's not overnight. It's usually not in the span of a semester. How long does it take? Yeah.
It takes those guys who are freshman, sophomore to honestly become junior, senior. So about 2 years, man, of really buying in. And then there will be a point to where those guys who bought in get to the point to where it's like, oh, this works. It's just like I was explaining to somebody. We had a poll in our show, Jamon and Ramon. And I asked, what is something that you thought you were doing right until you were corrected on the right way to do it? With me, it's just a simple sports. It's my jumper. As a kid, we all pushed the ball with two hands. You just wanted to go in the hoop. And then when you realize, like, man, there's an actual form where you really just guide the ball with one hand and you push with the other. You leave your wrist in the goal, you know? And when I first started doing it, it was weird to me, okay? Like, why do I got to, you know, push up? And why am I pushing the ball up instead of at the rim? Like, that's what I kind of get to where those guys are. It's going to be weird for a while. And then when you start making a couple jumpers or you start making the plays that the coaches say are there for you to make, that's when it turns over. So this year's going to be a rush for them. I think next year they get their footing. Just speaking in terms of the way my career was in Pittsburgh and even honestly at UT, my freshman year at UT was just a tornado, okay? I'm just wrapped around everything that's going on. And that next year, I actually won most improved on for the Tennessee spring game simply because the game kind of slowed down to me. Same thing happened in the NFL. Rookie year is a blur. You don't really understand. You're just trying to survive. And I think right now, for this entire year, honestly, for Josh Heupel and this Vols football team, is going to be survival mode. But you want to still see them compete. You want to see them with a different attitude. You want to see them fighting and clawing in games. And if we get that, E-Kane, we're in a really good spot. Because then it starts showing everybody else on the outside that you needed to convince. It starts showing the recruits that, hey, they may be on to something in Knoxville. The same way Lane did at Ole Miss. Like, let's be honest. When they put up the, 45 points against Alabama and this, it was really a shootout, I'm sure that changed the tide for them.
We'll have plenty more from VFL Ramon Foster on the other side, but first, rockauto.com, family-owned business, serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, shop for all your auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or daily drivers, you can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com's catalog, unique and remarkably easy to navigate through. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. You can choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best thing about RockAuto.com are those prices, always reliably low. The same for the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. So why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Why? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck. When you're there, write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. More from VFL Ramon Foster, a 10-plus year NFL vet, coming up next on Locked On Vols. But first, another word from our sponsors. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help from our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. I think Tennessee's offense, it's not going to be an immediate switch. It will be better simply because it's been so bad. And the big reason for that is obviously the offensive line. I was at open practice on Saturday. Someone asked me yesterday, you know, if you could announce for certain right now who's starting on the offensive line. I said, I don't know where it is, but I know Cade Mays number one, and that's all I got. Now, there are a lot of returners. There are, I mean, despite losing Trey and Brandon Kennedy and Wanya Morris, you still return a lot. But when you have Cade Mays in the luxury of playing left, right, guards, center, tackle, literally whatever it is, you can kind of build around him, isn't that right?
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with Kate. With Kate, he's very versatile. I talked to a guy that was at Georgia with him, and I asked him, I was like, why is Kate May still like going from position to position? And they were like, because he can play every position.
Yeah.
So for him and his career and for that line, put Cade in a spot. I don't care if it's right guard, right tackle, or left tackle. Put him in a spot and build from there. Whether you're building inside out or what, I think his little brother Cooper, right, has he has talent, and you know that. But this honestly is a great part for him to be at. You want those guys fighting and clawing for reps every single day. Because if that's the case and those guys chose to stick around and not enter the transfer portal, then you're going to get iron sharpening iron. And that is one of the biggest cliches ever. But when it really comes down to it, EK, it really is a, hey, today I'm winning, okay? Tomorrow you can try to win, but I'm here again, okay? The next practice, guess what? You might win, but I'm coming back the next day. And you're going to see who's the best competitors. You're going to get an opportunity to see who is not going to blink in the face of adversity. And that's what I like about what they're doing. Kay, yeah, he's going to be in there. Whether his little brother comes along for the ride or whether anybody else does. I saw that there's a walk-on. I'm forgetting his name. Dane Davis. Here's a guy that realizes, look, you guys are in the same boat as I am. I look like you guys. I'm not on scholarship. But guess what? I'm working just as hard as you are. I love this Dane Davis situation right now because, and this is the beauty of Heupel and his staff right now, not being too stuck and married to a guy to where they feel like they can't give him a chance. Because if he's the best guy for the job or he's one of the best five, I don't care if it's tackle or guard, you're going to find a way to put him on the field. And that's how opportunities and legends are born. I hate to say it. This is all sports and we speak of cliches because we see it all the time. But that's about as real as it gets, especially where we are as a university. No, where we are as a football program.
Yeah. I love the Dane Davis story so far. I'm intrigued to see how it finishes. I'm glad you brought him up. 6'7", 330, former walk-on. Actually got put on scholarship just a couple months ago, right before everything happened. So
they knew.
Good for him. Yeah, they knew. And they so knew. Here he is. And he continues to be up there when we're at practice and on Saturday repping with the ones and the twos. And so
– and he came to that same point. You have a guy like him, Dane Davis, with Cade Mays, who's Cade probably is looking for another guy to bring along with him, who's a leader type also. There's usually a multitude of guys that are in a room or in a building or on a team. You got the guy that's an old guy that knows what to do. That's Cade. But then he needs somebody else with him. This is where a guy with a worker's mentality like Davis comes in and just, hey, come with us. We'll show you the way. Whether they respect him or whatever his means of getting to this point, he has validation from the coaching staff. And when you have that, that's culture changing right there.
Yeah.
And no All-American status, none of that. You just got to have what we like to call in the NFL your core guys. You mentioned a team full of, I don't care what university, Georgia, Alabama, whoever, there's going to be some 3-stars, some 2-stars, some 4-stars, a sprinkle of some dynamic guys. But the majority of your team are going to be guys that play a role, man, and that's a beautiful thing.
Hey, last one. I want to get you out the door here. I know you're a busy guy. It was your last year in the NFL, and Pittsburgh just the quarterback position. I mean, no one could say healthy. Yeah. You were down to a guy winning football games for you named Duck, who I like him. I don't know him, but on social media, he's awesome.
Devin Hodges, yeah.
but that position was just decimated by injuries and everything else. Tennessee at linebacker right now, couple of injuries, people leaving the program, some suspensions for a number of reasons. That linebacker position is just it's critical. It's gone right now.
Decimated. Yeah.
And I know it's spring right now and it'll get better. You're not going to start the season off like this, but you know, as a teammate, playing on the other side of the football or whatever, you know, how do you encourage your defense that's struggling? How do you encourage that position group? Because it is just, I mean, it's a world of hurt right now. Essentially, they're just trying to find guys that can literally go out there and play right now.
Yeah. You know what? From a guy that's been in a position to where it looks a certain way from the outside, but on the inside, it's way calm. Yeah. Okay. Like those guys probably don't understand what situation they're in because they're focused on trying to do their jobs or, you know, play their role in practice. More than anything, and I know it's one of the most glaring topics in this spring, is Tennessee ain't got no middle linebackers. Okay, but we can't discredit the guys that are there right now because this is where we as guys who are in the media and fans of UT got to sit back and say, you know what? They didn't ask to be in this position. They're there. Whatever the coach's got to do to get them there, they'll try, and everybody else will surround them. That front line and the back end's got to do the job to cover those guys, because that's what a team is. It covers deficiencies. What we got to do as fans, and you know how we are, I'm included in that, man. Fans of UT, don't make it a big issue, because it is. But if we can't fix it overnight or grab some guys out of the transfer portal that we feel like can walk in and do the job, we really ain't got much to complain about. Our program is as fragmented as it might be the worst right now as far as just getting guys in and seeing where they're going to be. New coaching staff, a ton of guys in the transfer portal, and just an array of just feelings that these kids at the end of the day are going through. I don't think the guys who are put in their position inside those practices at the facility feel it. It's more of us than it is them. Because when you couldn't have told Duck, okay, Devlin Hodges, that he couldn't go in and win games. Because that's what you do. You surround it. I look at, hey, Duck, we got you today. Okay? Like, that's the way it was. We go to the West Coast, and Pittsburgh usually plays terrible on the West Coast and beat a Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers at their place. So, again, it's not them that's going to have the doubts. Those guys are waiting for an opportunity. It comes down to us, the fans, not making it a big deal about it. And the coaching staff, they inherited what they have. And there ain't much they can do about it except for try to recruit their you-know-what off in this transfer portal.
That's what you said right there, opportunity. At the end of the day, I keep saying it is an unbelievable opportunity mm-hmm. for everyone in that position group right now, because, hey, you might not have a role in this team in the fall, but maybe you will because of what you're doing yeah. right now over these 3 weeks. Maybe it's a roll-on kickoff. Maybe it's on punt return. Yeah. Maybe it's at linebacker. Who knows? It's opportunity for sure.
And it goes also, you speak of opportunity, I think, of recruiting automatically, too. Just simply because, and I'm an optimist about a lot of things, okay? But my mindset being on the other side of being a former NFL player is this. A lot of guys go to college and play football or their sports to do what? Make it to the next level, okay? Tennessee's at a point where they may have 1 year of bowl bans. All to me that says is, well, look, that means one less game or a lot less practices that I have. So I save my body for the next level. Tennessee right now has the deficiencies when it comes down to the middle linebacker position as far as having guys on scholarship. If I'm a young guy, and I know it's hard to say, but if I'm a young guy looking for an opportunity to play my freshman year and I'm a 4 or 5 star, maybe I take a look at Tennessee because I can get in and get out and try to maximize my talents to the next level. Because when it comes down to competing for facilities and amenities, when it comes down to the buildings, the training table, weight room, fields, and stuff like that, Tennessee has what everybody else has.
Yeah.
This is, you know, that's the pitch that you got to get to those guys. Look, you can play right now. So, Coach Heupel, your recruiting staff, go to work.
Yeah, go to work. And Tennessee did pick up their first commit for 2022 class yesterday. So, that's kind of along those lines right there. VFL Ramon Foster, man, love having you on, dude. Enjoy it.
He came. Thank you.
Man, that's awesome. I love when I talk football with Ramon Foster. I did it for about 2 days a week there for about 7 weeks this past fall on the radio, and I had so much fun. So big thanks to VFL, NFL veteran Ramon Foster and his willingness to come on the podcast and chat with you guys. And again, if you're in the Nashville area, really anywhere, you can also listen to him. They stream as well every single morning, 6 to 10 Central Time, I believe. 104.5 The Zone in Knoxville, the Jay Martin and Ramon Show. Does a fantastic job. Love hanging out with those boys and going on their show as well. All right, Bet Online. Fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Our guy, Ross Jackson, who is the college coordinator, also the host of Locked On Saints, if you've heard him, he sent us some of these draft odds and some of these NFL odds concerning rookies for next year and some other things. And as you'd expect, you know, odds for rookie of the year from the offense, Trevor Lawrence, 11-4 leading the way. You got Justin Fields, 9-2. Zach Wilson, also 9-2. You got Kyle Pitts, 15-2. Mac Jones, 10-1. Also on down the list. You go down and look at some other stuff. Larry Fitzgerald, odds that he will retire before game one of 2021. Yes, -500. No, +300. Interesting. Will Jimmy Garoppolo be San Francisco's game one starter for 2021? Yes, -150. No, +110. Alex Smith, next team by game one of 2021. The Jets 2-1 odds. All of these type of odds, all this is at BetOnline.com. betonline.ag. And you can go in there and place some future bets and win some money. And it's that simple. It's also got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. It's got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, the best way to place your bet, and it's completely free to sign up. So listen to this promo code, Locked On. If you go on your mobile device, go to the website, sign up, and on your first deposit, if you use that promo code Locked On, you'll get 50% off and a welcome bonus. Promo code Locked On, 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. Go place your future NFL bets. Go place your future Rookie of the Year bets. All that is at BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We got a final segment left here on a Thursday Locked On Vols. It's been a fun one so far. We're going to finish strong. And speaking of finishing strong, up until the NFL draft, you can get prepared by listening to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 from April 19th through the 26th. It features analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason Lockenfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team makes trades and picks the next stars for their team. Subscribe to the Ultimate Mock Draft Podcast 2021, presented by the Locked On Odyssey, a new Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. So it was a big day for Tennessee athletics yesterday. Not only did Josh Heupel pick up his first commit for the class of 2022, but Tennessee basketball reeled in a big fish, and that's where we're going to start in this conversation. You know, Tennessee basketball needed a big man this offseason. That was, in my opinion, priority number one, because the uncertainty of John Fulkerson, you're losing E. Pons, you didn't hardly have a post presence at all for the duration of this season. And so, yes, you needed another shooter, and you're going to have to fill in some different holes than Tennessee has so far because of all the attrition to the program. But I thought Tennessee needed a big man, a rim protector, and a post presence. And Tennessee is taking on a work in progress, but got a commit for a four-star commit from Jonas Adu. I believe that's how you say his name. That is how everyone else has been saying his name since yesterday. So if that is wrong, I do apologize. You guys know I struggle with pronunciations. But Jonas Adu, four-star center, 7 foot, 215, again, class of 2021. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina, where he attended Liberty Heights. He's the 33rd prospect in the nation, according to Rivals. He's tabbed as the number five center, so number five player at his position for Jonas Adu. Again, I believe he had about 21 offers so far, and the reason this became so big for Tennessee is because when Tennessee and Rick Barnes hired Justin Gainey, associate head coach at Marquette, he was recruiting him heavily there, and of course, coaching change at Marquette, Justin Gainey comes to Tennessee, and that's kind of where that connection is. So, nonetheless, he's going to be a rim protector. He's got great size in the paint. Tennessee suddenly has some. You know, even John Fulkerson, he's only about 6'9". And so even if he comes back and, you know, pairs himself with Kumwa and Uros, who has some height on him as well, you know, Tennessee's got some length now. He's not really a prototypical big man in terms of, you know, shot blocking and all that. So I wouldn't say that he's going to replace a guy like Eve Pons, but he's got long length. So, you know, anyone's going to be tough to shoot over a 7-footer. So he's got some length to his game as well. He's got a nice mid-range. He can shoot a three just a little bit, but you know, he'll be a work in progress. But he was a top recruit, and so anytime you can get a 7-footer, a 4-star, a top 35 player in the country to come your way, that's a big deal. So this is a big get for Tennessee. You now have Adu along with Fulkerson potentially. We'll see what happens there. Uros Plavsic, Olivier Kumwa. That's kind of your front court right now, as we are right now. And then, of course, Josiah Jordan James, Santiago Vescovi, Victor Bailey Jr., Justin Powell coming in, Kennedy Chandler's coming in, Jemiah Mayshak's coming in. You know, you're starting to see this team kind of come together on paper, and still a whole lot of talent here. Is it as talented as last year's team? Absolutely not. Could it potentially have a better year than last year's team? I think for sure it could, because Tennessee's team this past season, as we all know, vastly underperformed, vastly. So much talent, and you're going to see that with two first-round picks and a lottery pick, but it just underperformed. That's what it was. But Tennessee brings in Jonas Adu, and I think that he met with North Carolina earlier in the week, and obviously, you know, that didn't go well for either side, but now he's coming to Tennessee. So that is good right there. A commit for the class of 2021 and Jonas Adu for the basketball team. We shift gears now as we end our program. Josh Heupel, he reeled in his first commit for or as Tennessee's coach, and now this is the first commit for the class of 2022. Remember, Tennessee had some 2022 commits. I think they had three, and then Jeremy Pruitt was fired, and they decommitted, as you know, that often you often see that. But Elijah Herring, he is a three-star outside linebacker from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Riverdale High School. I've had an opportunity to speak with Elijah Herring on multiple occasions with my work at VolQuest.com. Smart kid, bright kid, tremendous athlete, is versatile, can come off the edge, can slide in and play in the box, can go out and play coverage. He can do a whole lot of stuff. And, you know, it's even bigger, too, because we know about this in-state crop of talent that Tennessee's missed on some already. The Wade twins are making their announcement on Friday. Right now, if I'm being honest with you guys, I think it's trending more Kentucky than Tennessee. I think Tennessee was in the driver's seat for a long, long time. But the thing about the Wade twins is Destin, who I've spoke to several times, great kid, wants an opportunity to play quarterback. And I think Kentucky might give him that opportunity. And so we'll have to see. I'm not saying it's over, but I'm trending Kentucky right now a day before these guys are set to make their announcements, that being Dustin and Keaton Wade of Summit Hill. But we will have to see. They'll make their announcement. But nonetheless, an in-state kid, and this is big because one in-state kid can help kind of light that fire and spark and bring more aboard. And so, you know, Elijah Herring is the first one. He chose Tennessee over Michigan, Missouri, Kentucky, Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, and a couple of others. This is from his high school coach. And I've told people all along that he hasn't really gotten 100% involved or wrapped up in the recruiting process. He's just a football player, constantly in the weight rooms, constantly working with someone, individual drills, trying to improve. He's working it all the time to get himself better as a football player. The teachers in school like him. He's down to earth, funny kid. He'll set you up and prank you. He's a fun-loving kid who always has a smile on his face. I don't know if he's ever had a bad day in his life. That's some high praise there from Riverdale High School coach Will Kriske. A couple of other things from Kriske. Elijah's really good. He can play in space really well. That's what's impressed me, is as big as he is and has as well as he moves. Put him on the edge a lot, and also when he plays over the top of a receiver, he can get those quick scat guys in space. He's very good in the open field as far as tackling. That's good because you got to be a good tackler, especially in the open field. Kriske goes on, I really think that he really likes to learn the game. He's worked on being able to come off the edge and get to the pressure when we need him to. I think he can even get better. Eventually, we like to play him some inside as well. Some talk about playing him on the D-line, but I think he's athletic enough that he can play inside as the linebacker if needed. So, a versatile guy, Elijah Herring. Again, a three-star, 6'2", 220 pounds from Riverdale High School. That's Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Commitment number one is in the books. You can put it on the board. In the books, Elijah Herring for the class of 2022. Also of note, Herring's younger brother, a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous athlete, highly ranked player in the state in the class of 2023 as well. So that is someone to watch down the line. It's been a fun show. Tennessee gets a basketball commit in Jonas Adu, a football commit in Elijah Herring, and we chatted with our buddy, our friend, a contributor to this podcast, and 104.5 The Zone's new face in Ramon Foster, of course, a VFL, former NFL veteran of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Tomorrow's show, we will preview everything that is Tennessee Vanderbilt on the diamond. We'll catch up with John Wilkerson, voice of the Tennessee baseball team, and continue the conversation of Tennessee football spring practice as a close scrimmage is nearing Saturday morning before we hear from Josh Heupel. Also, we might check in with the Mays brothers, Caden Cooper, as well as Jerome Carvin, who met with the media yesterday. All that and more coming up on a Friday show. It's been a fun show, guys. Appreciate it. At Locked On Vols, at underscore Kaner. Follow us there on social. Follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, on the Odyssey app, every weekday when you get up. This podcast is made available for you guys. Don't forget, 5-Star Friday tomorrow as well. Drop a 5-star rating and a positive review. You will get a shout-out on tomorrow's show. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and we will finish strong tomorrow on another episode of Locked On Vols.